The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the show today. This coming Sunday is Father's Day, a day we celebrate all fathers and father figures. To most of us, this day has tremendous importance. I know to me, Father's Day is like I celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, and my birthday all on the same day. Unfortunately, however, not every child gets to celebrate on this day because not every father has earned the celebration. Let me share some interesting statistics with you, which are actually interesting and scary at the same time. In a typical elementary school classroom of 20 students, 7 of them, or about 33%, are growing up without their biological father at home. These children are twice as likely to be abused or neglected. They are 7 times more likely to be incarcerated, 7 times more likely to become a pregnant teen, 4 times more likely to live in poverty, more than twice as likely to have emotional and behavioral problems, and the list goes on and on. With us today to discuss these issues and many others are Christopher Brown, president of the National Fatherhood Initiative. Chris has been with the NFI since 2000, having previously served as the executive vice president. He has played a critical role in shaping NFI's focus as the leading provider of fatherhood skill-building resources in the country and the leading trainer of practitioners seeking to offer fatherhood programs in their communities. Soon, we'll also have Vince DeCaro with us, who is Vice President of Development and Communications, who oversees NFI's fundraising efforts and external communications, runs NFI's government relations, and manages relationships with corporate and media partners. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. For the benefit of our listeners, please describe to us what the mission of the National Fatherhood Initiative is.
Absolutely. Well, our mission is to improve the well-being of children by increasing the proportion of children growing up with involved, responsible, and committed fathers. And the involved, responsible, and committed part is very, very important as we talk about our work. It's not just enough to have involved fathers, but they have to be involved in a responsible manner. And furthermore, they have to be committed to their children and families for the long haul.
One of the things that has attracted me about NFI, and I should say here for our listeners that today I'm playing a dual role, that of your host and also that of a newly elected member of the board of the National Fatherhood Initiative. So one of the things that attracted me to this organization is, unlike most other organizations that do wonderful work but focus on fixing the problem, it seems as though NFI's focus is not only fixing the problem but preventing it from happening in the best place. Is that something that was always at the core of NFI, or is that something that happened after experience, a lot of work and research?
Well, I think it really evolved for NFI. We started in 1994, primarily as a public advocacy organization that was focused on raising awareness in the general public and also among legislators at the federal level about the importance of father involvement. A great deal of research, as you alluded to at the start of the show, Chris, shows that children who grow up without their fathers are at much higher risk on average for a range of poor outcomes. You name a poor outcome and in some way father absence is correlated or even in some cases causes those poor outcomes, as recent research has shown. And we may talk about that research in just a little bit as our discussion progresses. Really our first 6 years up until about 2000 was focused on raising awareness. And as awareness was raised in the general public and among legislators, we began to notice that there was a dearth of resources at the community level where this work goes on every day among organizations that are at what we call the nexus of children and families. There was a lack of well-developed programs and other resources for fathers that had been evaluated to determine their effectiveness. And so we began a process of creating those resources, and today we have well over 100 different resources that range in what we call intensity levels, from very high-intensity programming to very low-intensity programming that meets the various budget and staffing constraints of organizations that work directly with fathers and families.
So, in my experience, there are two different kinds, or largely two different groups of fathers. Those who are totally committed to their children and almost identify in part themselves through their children, and those who are totally hands-off and often absent from the child's life. There are very few who are there, who, I guess for lack of a better word, who can take or leave fatherhood. Is that what you see on a national level, or is that my own microcosm of experience?
Yeah, I think what you've described are really two ends of a spectrum, Chris. In our experience, we find that fathers exist along a continuum where, to your point, you have fathers who are completely absent from the lives of their children physically. They're just not present, and their children don't even know who their fathers are in many cases. The fathers who are, you know, what you might call hyper-involved, and that's not a negative statement by any means, but these are fathers who are just completely committed to their children and families. But then you have many fathers who are in the home. They are raising their children, they have varying levels of commitment. Just as an example, my own father, which is my experience with my own father, is really what drove me to do this work. He was present in my life, but even though he was physically present, he was involved only at the margins. And, it was very difficult for me growing up trying to develop a relationship with my father because he just, no matter what I did, he just really didn't seem to want to spend the kind of time with me that I needed from my dad. And so we see this with fathers who are in the home. So when we talk about father absence, we're talking about it from a holistic perspective. It's not just whether a father is physically present, but is he also emotionally and spiritually engaged in the lives of his children? So we work with fathers who are physically absent. Perhaps they've never been married to the mothers of their children or never even lived with their children, trying to help them reconnect or connect for the first time. To fathers who have always been with their children, but they need to be better dads for the sake of their kids.
I think you just described the dichotomy of fatherhood, you know, the best and the worst, so to speak. In recent years, certainly in the last 10, 15 years, we have seen a lot more stay-at-home dads. And that is a reasonably new trend because, you know, I don't recall, you know, longer than 15 years ago, too many men willing or able to stay at home and have mom go out and earn the daily bread. Other than this trend, do you see other trends that are happening for or against fatherhood?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I see both things happening. And that's why we say identify, it's really the best of times and the worst of times. So when you look at today's fathers, particularly the millennial generation, these are young fathers who may be expecting a child, or they have infants or toddlers, or just very young children, perhaps elementary school age. They tend to be in demand, even from their employers, more time with their families. So we're seeing more dads being involved holistically, as I mentioned earlier, physically, emotionally, and spiritually as well. We see that, since the 1960s, and several studies have determined this, primarily from, an organization called the Families and Work Institute, that the amount of time that dads have spent doing household work, typically that people might think mothers have done over the years and have done over the years, such as child care and cleaning the home, for example, has doubled. So the gap in the number of hours on a daily and weekly basis that fathers spend helping out around the house in basic child care and house care, that gap has closed dramatically, even though moms still do the lion's share of that work. So that's in terms of the best of times. It's not just the best of times, I think, for dads, but for moms as well, because our own surveys have shown that the one thing that moms want more from dads is more involvement, just bottom line. So it's the best of times for dads and for moms and for the kids, obviously. But we, and to your point, we're seeing a record number of stay-at-home dads. In fact, that number has doubled. It doubled since 1989 in the last 25 years. On the other hand, we still see this persistent rate of father absence in this country where, one out of every three children in the U.S. is growing up absent their biological father. One out of every four is growing up absent any kind of father, adoptive father, stepfather, or biological father, and that's very persistent. And in some communities, it's endemic. In some communities, particularly African-American communities, we see two out of every three children growing up without their biological fathers. And in research that I've done, when I go into communities and speak on this issue, I always look at the census data for that community that tells me, what's the rate of father absence there, so I can know a little bit more about what that community is facing. I've seen, rates as high as 90% of all kids in certain communities are growing up without their father. So just as father involvement exists along a spectrum that we talked about earlier, so does father absence. Some communities are much better off than others.
And the father absence that you see, has it gotten worse? It seems as though it has gotten worse because you called it endemic in some communities.
Absolutely. And it has gotten worse in some communities, absolutely, particularly urban communities. From a national perspective, it's been pretty persistent, pretty consistent, as a matter of fact, for many, many years. So the good news regarding that is that on a national level, we don't see it getting worse, but by the same token, we don't see it getting better. But in some specific communities, it has, in fact, gotten worse. And that's where a lot of our work is concentrated. A lot of the organizations that we partner with and build our capacity to do this work are working in those urban communities where we see extremely high rates of father absence.
Let's talk more about that after a short break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Chris Brown. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Chris Brown. Please visit his website, fatherhood.org. Facebook page is National Fatherhood Initiative. And on Twitter, they are The Father Factor. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before the break, we were talking about the status of fatherhood, if you will. In some communities, it is improving. In other communities, it's getting worse. Overall, it seems to be stable, which is the good news. But let's focus on the communities that's getting worse, Chris. I believe you mentioned the African-American community, and that, I would assume, is mostly in an inner city.
Well, that's an interesting assumption, because I think it's quite common that people assume that father absence is necessarily worse in urban than in rural communities. But in research that we've done, when we look at rates of father absence, while it's true that there are some pockets of urban communities where the rate of father absence is higher than in rural areas, generally speaking, rural areas suffer just as much from father absence as others. But if you do look at certain pockets in urban areas, you do see higher rates of father absence. And also you see a greater concentration of organizations that we work with that are actually providing those services. One of the unfortunate things about what happens in rural communities is, as you probably know, is that services sometimes can be lacking. So you may have, and I'm based in Texas, so for example, in the panhandle of Texas, where you do have very high rates of father absence, you may have one community, let's say, in a city like Lubbock or Amarillo that serves multiple counties, I mean, you know, and hundreds of square miles. So services for families that are facing this issue can be very difficult to come by. So I just wanted to make that point very clear, because I think a lot of people don't understand just how endemic this problem is, not just in urban communities, but rural. But, you know, since you brought up urban communities, you know, one of the things that, you know, we do identify is we're primarily a capacity building organization, meaning that we don't provide direct services to dads themselves. The reason we don't do that is because we can have a much broader impact in addressing this issue if we work with the thousands of organizations that we work with to actually train them on how to use the fatherhood programs that we've developed, the fatherhood resources that we've developed, and thereby impacting thousands and thousands of families across this country is a much more effective strategy from our perspective as a national organization that would be to try to set up, let's say, satellite offices in all communities across the country. That said, let me just give you one specific example of how we go about doing this. So let's take New Jersey, for example, and you have very high rates of father absence in cities like Trenton and Newark. So just last year, we partnered with the New Jersey Department of Children and Families to train 140 of their service providers. These are local community-based organizations, most of them nonprofits, that work directly with fathers and families. And we did two things with them. First of all, we built their capacity to understand the importance of father engagement. The reason why that is so important is that's the foundation for providing effective programming for fathers, again, regardless of the circumstance that fathers find them in, themselves in. And that's because we have a very solid infrastructure in this country that serves maternal and child health. But what happened, unfortunately, is setting up that infrastructure, we forgot the dads. And so these organizations know really well how to serve moms and children, but because dads are different, because men are different in terms of both getting them to accept services, but also what services you provide and how you provide them, how you deliver them, these organizations need their capacity built in these areas. So that's the first thing we did. Once we did that and helped them to develop plans for becoming what we call father-friendly or father-ready, then we trained them on our 24/7 Dad program, which is the most widely used community-based fatherhood program in the country. It's 12 sessions. Most of the time, each session is delivered once a week. Fathers come into a group setting where they work with other dads who are facing the same challenges that they face, and they learn about how to be a better father. First of all, they learn about how to be a good man, which is a foundation of being a good father, and then they learn specific skills for raising their children effectively, and also for working, just as importantly, effectively with the mothers of their children, whether they're married to the mother, whether they're just living with the mother, or whether they don't have a romantic relationship with the mother. So we train those 140 providers, and now they are running our 24/7 Dad program in communities across New Jersey, Newark, Trenton, other urban areas, but also rural areas as well. So that gives you an idea of how we go about having a broad impact based on our strategy of being a capacity builder.
That's very interesting. Obviously, and you mentioned before, the community at large is very well versed in providing support systems to moms, but not so much to dads. Now, women, we all know they are wired differently. They are far more social creatures than men are. And as such, they accept those, if you will, group sessions. They're far more likely to go to those than men tend to be. What do you find is the level of acceptance among most dads to going to, quote-unquote, be trained to be a good dad?
Well, here's what we find, Chris, particularly for fathers who are non-custodial. They don't have custody of their children, and they're often, most of the cases, non-residential, so they don't live with their children. What we find attracts them to come to get services is not so much the fatherhood training initially, but it's other services that the organization provides. So it may be help with getting their GED. It may be help with getting a job. So it's meeting an immediate need initially. And then once they realize that this organization can meet their need, then at that time, the organization introduces them to fatherhood programming. And for a lot of the guys, they come in not realizing that they need help in being a better dad. They think they're a good dad already. Once they get into the programming and they start to interact with other fathers and they start to interact with a very trained facilitator and they learn how to be a good dad through our program, usually by the second or third week, they start to realize, wow, you know what? I'm not as good a dad as I thought I was. And so they really begin to become committed to the program at that point. So it's really a marketing challenge. And that's part of my background is in an area called social marketing. I'm an anthropologist by training. So it's a marketing challenge for a lot of these organizations. How do you offer something that meets an immediate need of fathers, getting them into that service that meets that need, and then at that point introducing them to fatherhood training. Once you do that, the men are very, very open and welcoming to that kind of training. And in fact, what we find through the group dynamic is that it has an incredible impact on helping these fathers change, as opposed to, let's just say, one-on-one training. Once they get into a group, with other men who are facing the same challenges that they do, they start learning from one another. They create a support environment similar to what you see that mothers naturally have in their social networks. Once dads develop this, and basically the difference is for organizations is that they don't have to be as intentional in helping to develop support networks for moms. They have to be much more intentional about developing support networks for dads.
That does make sense. We have a question from one of our listeners from George in Atlanta, Georgia. Part of his question you have already answered, but there is another part that I think is merits asking the question. George says, as an organization, how do you reach out to fathers in the community, and what is your most difficult challenge in doing so?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and for you, George, is really the biggest challenge is identifying that immediate need that the fathers in your community have. What are the most common needs that they have? And then being able to provide services that meet those needs in addition to providing the fathered services. So it's a matter of knowing what it is that you're marketing or promoting in order to get fathers in the door. Once you get them in the door, then you can begin to open their eyes and their awareness about the importance of being a better dad.
Makes sense. You mentioned earlier that the NFI has a number of different programs, and you already mentioned some of those programs. As a matter of fact, today I received an email from the NFI that says, new release, Father Readiness Training Kit, which appears to be a CD-ROM that gives chock full of good information to fathers. Could you talk to us a little bit about that and then about some other programs that the NFI has? We will have to take a break in a couple of minutes, but we'll continue after the break.
Sure. Well, let me just start with the Father Readiness Training Kit. This is a brand new and very different product from us. It captures more than 15 years of experience that we have training thousands of organizations across the country on how to create an organizational culture that supports the effective delivery of programs and services. As I mentioned earlier with the New Jersey example, the first step for any organization is to look at how well or how poorly the culture of the organization supports fatherhood programs or services. Because if it doesn't support programs or services for dads, then the program is likely to fail. So that's the first place to start. And this kit helps an organization do its own training. It's like a do-it-yourself kit that you might buy at the hardware store for fixing up your house. And that's kind of the analogy I like to use is, you know, if you want to, you know, do a fix-up on your house, what you would do is you would have someone come in and basically assess your entire house to determine what needs to be fixed up, and then they would give you a strategy for how to make your house a better one from your perspective. And so this is basically what this kit does for an organization. So that's the first step, and we just, as you mentioned, offered that.
Let's take a break right here, and then we'll continue on the other side. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Chris Brown. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Chris Brown. Please visit his website, fatherhood.org. Facebook page is National Fatherhood Initiative. And follow him on Twitter at The Father Factor. We're talking about programs that the NFI offers to individuals and communities. And Chris explained the Father Readiness Training Kit, a CD-ROM that is a do-it-yourself kind of a thing that gives you strategies and tactics of how to create that experience. Chris, I assume that training program can be found on your website. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, it's featured on our homepage right now. And you mentioned other programs. So, once an organization develops that foundation for ensuring that they can develop an effective fatherhood program, then it's time really to implement a program that's based on how men learn best how to parent, which is different than women learn best, how to help fathers access those unique abilities that they have, the unique skills that they bring to parenting their children. And research is very clear that while there are certain things that moms and dads do and need to do that are gender blind to be effective parents, there are certain unique skills and abilities that moms and dads bring to parenting their children. And that's why the research shows that when children grow up with a mom and a dad, they benefit above and beyond growing up with just an involved dad or just an involved mom. So I mentioned the 24/7 Dad program earlier, which is the largest community-based program in the country, the most widely used. We also have the only evidence-based program for incarcerated fathers that's designed specifically for dads. It's called Inside Out Dad. 25 states across the country, their departments of corrections have standardized on Inside Out Dad, meaning that is the parenting program of choice in all of their male facilities. It is listed on what's called the National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices. And like 24/7 Dad, it's undergone quite a few third-party independent evaluations by university-based researchers that have shown it to be effective. We also have what's called the Dr. Dad program, which is an ideal program for expectant fathers and brand-new fathers. It trains them on basic health care and safety for infants and toddlers, so simple things like how to take a temperature, how to know when it's time to take your child to the doctor, what's important in terms of preventing your child from getting sick in the first place or getting injured. But if your child does get sick, if your child does get injured, what do you need to do to ensure that you can assess the situation properly and know what appropriate action to take in those circumstances? And then we have a range of workshops, half-day and one-day workshops that deal with how to effectively communicate with the mother of your children from a father's perspective, understanding domestic violence, a range of other capacity building workshops that organizations can use and that can be delivered in a much shorter time frame. One thing that we're very excited about, Chris, that we've just recently launched in the last several months is resources for moms. What we know is that one of the most significant factors that influences whether a father is involved in the life of his children is the access that the mother of the children allows the father to have. And this is not just in terms of fathers who are physically absent, but also who are physically present, emotionally present, and even married to the mom of their children. And when I say granting access, I'm using that term perhaps a bit inappropriately, but to make a point. What often happens in a mother-father relationship is that the mother engages in what's called gatekeeping behavior, meaning that sometimes unconsciously and sometimes consciously, she acts as a gatekeeper or a gateway that affects how much access the father has to his children, particularly in terms of basic health care and child care. So we have partnered with folks to write programs, to write workshops, and also to develop a brand new program called Understanding Dad that moms actually go through to help them improve the relationship that they have with the fathers of their children for the sake of their children. And we now have started to train organizations across the country on how to use those workshops and programs for that particular purpose.
That makes infinite sense because, again, even though in the presence of a gatekeeper mom, even though if the dad might be physically present, if he does not feel welcome to engage emotionally with the children, it's not going to happen. And I dare say most moms will not stop the father from being involved on purpose, but oftentimes that happens. But most of the times I would expect that they do it because they do it out of habit or out of just going about their business, and somebody has to take care of something, so mom jumps in and does it. But that may make a less than ready to jump in father a bit timid to do that.
So that's exactly right.
So at the outset, I mentioned that fathers being present is, for lack of a better word, almost good for the mental health of the child. There have been a whole lot of studies that I'm aware of that have clearly shown that a father's presence is good for children, and in particular for young girls, because much like moms are to boys, fathers are the quote-unquote first men that a daughter experiences in that kind of a relationship, somebody who is of a different gender than she is. But it goes well beyond that. It goes to the emotional stability. It goes to how they see themselves, their own self-worth, themselves as future fathers and mothers. Can you talk about the impact that a present father has to his son or daughter? And of course, the absence of that would be what happens in a father absent home.
Yeah, absolutely. Fathers, when they're involved in the lives of their children, play one of two roles based on the gender of their child. So for fathers of sons, they are a role model. So the son looks to the father for a model of what a man and a father should be. So you think about it like a model airplane. And this is how we talk to fathers about the importance of being a role model. We actually use this analogy. So if you've ever built a model airplane when you were a child, or a model boat, you basically look at the picture on the box you look at the instructions, and if you put everything together correctly, it's supposed to turn out like the picture on the box. Well, for me, not being a real handsy kind of guy, it rarely turned out that way, but it at least looked somewhat like it. And in the absence of that for a child has no box to look at. The child has no set of directions for what a proper man and a father should be, unless the child is fortunate enough to have very, very strong male role models in his or her life, which unfortunately for many children they don't have. For fathers of daughters, and I have two girls myself, they are a relational model. In other words, their daughters look to them for what is the image of a proper man, and if I decide to marry someday and have children, what is a father like? What should a father look like? So the father plays a very important role. And so likewise, if the father is not present for his daughters, then she will lack a good relational model. And so what we see in terms of outcomes for children who grow up without their father, so just to use one outcome, for example, is boys who grow up without their dads are more likely to have sex earlier and get a girl pregnant as a teen. Similarly, daughters of absent fathers are more likely to engage in premarital sex and also have children as teens. So very, very critical role that the father plays, and that's just one example.
We have another question from one of our listeners. This comes from Patricia in Raleigh, North Carolina. Patricia says, does the lack of involved fathers cross all social and economic levels? Where is the greatest void, and how do you reach them?
It absolutely crosses all socioeconomic levels, and we talk about that at NFI all the time. Where you see a lot of resources being put to bear, however, is in low-income disadvantaged communities where the problem is particularly acute. And again, even though you can look at racial demographics and see that it affects the African-American community more than other communities, if you look at economic or socioeconomic data, you see that it affects low-income communities regardless of other demographic factors that are at play. So that's where we see the most acute problem. But what we try to keep people focused on at NFI is that this is a problem that affects everyone. It's everyone's problem. It's a national problem. It's not just a problem of a specific community. It's not just a problem that the government has to address or nonprofits have to address, but the business community has to address it, the law enforcement, all of these different sectors of community life. That's why we work across different sectors. We don't just work with the nonprofit community. We work with schools, for example. We work with military installations. We are the largest distributor of programs and resources for military fathers in the country. We work with all four branches of the military and have our resources on bases not just in the continental U.S., but across the world. And we also work, as I alluded to earlier, through our Inside Out Dad program and other resources with departments of corrections and the law enforcement community across the country. So it's everyone's problem. And that's, you know, if there's one message that I want everyone to leave your show with today, Chris, if they don't remember anything else that I've said, is that this is everybody's issue.
Could not agree with you more and could not echo those words more. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Chris Brown. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Hear me. Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Chris Brown. Please visit his website, fatherhood.org. Facebook page is National Fatherhood Initiative. And follow him on Twitter at The Father Factor. As media celebrities often do, so do the rest of the citizens of this country. And we have seen in late years an awful lot of celebrities having children without being married. Some of them, I guess, out of a casual relationship, others a committed relationship, but no marriage. What do you see across the board as being the case? Do you find an increase in households and the way that that impacts fatherhood where the parents are married versus those that are not?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to talk about this because it can be very unpleasant depending on the situation that they come from. So as I share this information, I want to be very clear to your listeners that this is what I'm about to share is not a judgment about anybody's decision regarding marriage. That said, the research is very clear that children who grow up in a home with their married biological parents do better on average across a range of outcomes than children who don't grow up with married parents. And in fact, the single biggest predictor of whether a father is involved in the lives of his children is whether he's married to the mother. It's sort of like real estate, the old mantra, location, location, location. The easiest way for a dad to be involved in the lives of his children is simply to be married to the mother of his children. That's the first step. He's got to be there, right? So that's what we see. And when you look at what are the drivers of father absence, since the 1960s, which is when we started to see a rapid rise in the number of children growing up in father absent homes, there are two drivers, divorce, and the second one, which is the primary driver these days, out of wedlock childbearing. So we're seeing more and more children. Approximately half of all children born in this country now are born out of wedlock. And what we know, again from research, is that when children are born out of wedlock, the likelihood of them having an involved father is much less, even as they age. So even if the parents are romantically involved at the time of the child's birth, perhaps they're cohabitating, the likelihood of that relationship dissolving is higher, and we see over time as that child ages that the amount of involvement, the amount of time that they see their fathers is less and less as they grow older. So it's definitely an important factor, and that's why at National Fatherhood Initiative, we're not shy at all about the importance of marriage in addressing this issue. We work with fathers, as I mentioned earlier, in any circumstance that they find themselves in. So whether they're married to the mother or not, we help regardless. But we're very clear, and this is even part of our programming, that it's very, very important that fathers get the message that If you're not married to the mother right now, if there is an opportunity for you guys to get married, if you love one another, if you want to be together, it's important for your children that you get married. And the reason why so many people don't want to talk about this is that marriage now is viewed primarily for the benefit of the two people who are married. In other words, it is an institution of self-fulfillment, whereas historically, it has been an institution in which to raise children. Now, it doesn't mean that marriage should not be fulfilling for people. Absolutely, it should be. But I, as I mentioned at the outset, I'm an anthropologist by training, and if you look across the world, cultures across the world, the primary cultural institution that connects fathers to their children is marriage. And in societies where you see fewer and fewer people getting married, you see more and more father absence. It's a complete inverse relationship. And so that's why it's important to talk about this. So yes, marriage should be self-fulfilling, but people have to understand that marriage is primarily an institution for raising the next generation of healthy, well-adjusted children.
We have a comment from a listener. This comes from Virginia Collin from Fairfax, Virginia. She says, Mr. Brown mentioned that a very large percentage of African-American kids are growing up without their dads. Someone could mention that in many cases this is not because the father voluntarily abandoned his child. Police and prosecutors target black males and incarcerate them for minor crimes, and they ignore white communities. Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, explains this well. I'm glad to hear that your guest has an inside-out dad's program for dads in prison. Thank you very much, Virginia. That brings us to our last question for the broadcast, and that is, out of all the programs and all the outreach and all the good work that the NFI does, are there certain areas where the NFI is seeing success more so than others?
Yeah, I'd say in three particular areas. Obviously, in the community-based work that we've done, we've distributed well over 6.7 million resources since 2004, and since 2002, over the last roughly 12 years, we've trained nearly 14,000 practitioners on our programs, and that represents about 6,500 organizations across the country to deliver programs for dads. As I mentioned in our work with corrections, we have by far the most widely used and successful program on parenting, specifically designed for incarcerated fathers, Inside Out Dad, that has been shown through quite a bit of research to be effective. And that is also reflected in the fact that, you know, half the states in this country have made a decision to standardize the program across all of their male facilities. And then finally, in the military, as I mentioned earlier, we have worked with the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines. We've also worked with the National Guard, the Air National Guard, and the Coast Guard to train personnel on military installations and elsewhere to effectively deliver programming for military fathers who face and families who face unique challenges, obviously, with deployment and reintegration from deployment. The divorce rate among military families is extremely high. And so we need to help those families because of the unique challenges that they face. So those are the three areas where I'd say we've had probably the most success. I mean, obviously it's been across the board, but those are the three sort of areas that, you know, we often talk about as the focus of our work.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Chris, thank you so much for your time here and all the good information you have shared. Wish you continued success with NFI and all its good work.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I really appreciate your focus on this issue. Thank you.
And happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thank you very much. I hope you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. Happy Father's Day to all. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.